Shore Baptist Church. I only heard a couple. Everybody awake? Good morning, everybody. Thank you. All right. Merry Christmas to everybody. We're getting ready for a wonderful Happy New Year. We're glad to have you all here this morning with us. Will you please stand as we open up with a word of prayer this morning? And I should also make one quick announcement this morning. Just be sure to wear your mask. You know, we're asking everybody to do that right now. That's really bad right now. So please, everybody, wear your mask. Okay, I'd like to open up with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you, God, that we can come here to your house and gather in your name and worship you in spirit and truth, God. Lord, I pray a blessing upon this worship service, God. I pray a blessing upon the words that we sing, God. We don't just sing and make noise, God. We sing and we praise you, and that's why we're here, God. We're here to praise you, and we're here to hear from you, God. So I pray that the word that you've given Brother Richie this morning comes from the Holy Spirit, God. Be strong in him and allow him to speak through the Holy Spirit this morning to us. Stir our hearts, God, and change us into what you would like us to be. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated.
Good morning. So far, we have a little over $1,500 for our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Today is the last day that we'll be collecting for that, and our goal is $4,000. I should say that the $1,500 does not include the money that was given during the Christmas Eve service. Today, I would like to give you a little bit of information about Lottie Moon. If you are here in the sanctuary, you have an insert in your bulletin, and I will read from the insert for those who are watching online. Lottie Moon was appointed a missionary to China July 7, 1873. She was a bold woman of action and radical obedience who shared Christ with her beloved Chinese to the end. Lottie died December 24, 1912, leaving a legacy that lives on. Her influence led to the establishment of the Women's Missionary Union and inspired other missions pioneers to join her in the field. Her passionate letter writing led to the offering that bears her name today, Lottie Moon Christmas Offering for International Missions. If you would like to give today, you are here in the sanctuary. There are envelopes in the pews in front of you. If you are watching online, you can go to the church website and click on the Add Donation button at the giving page. You can also mail your check in to Open Door Baptist Church. And I would like to thank all of you who have given already for your generosity. And thank you to those who will give today. And I ask that you continue to pray for our missionaries, not only this month, but throughout the year. They really covet our prayers. And now we're going to watch a short video. Thank you.
When you have been told from the time that you're born that Jesus is not God, Bible's corrupted, and to follow Jesus is to commit blasphemy and you're going to be turned away from your family, that's a whole nother task. And so we're going to the tip of the spear because we're getting to people that have only heard lies of Jesus. They've heard his name, but they've been told lies about him and to reject and to not listen. What we do, it's very hard. It takes a lot of time and a lot of sacrifice on a lot of areas. But when you see someone get it, when you see them come from darkness to light, and they literally know that their life is forever changed, and no matter what persecution or whatever happens, that they're with Christ, that they're his for eternity, that's worth it. God sees the bigger picture, or maybe someone in our work sees one or two Muslims come to Christ after 3 or 4 years, but God takes those two or three snowballs. We've seen Muslims hear the gospel and be baptized and follow and be strong lights. Christ says to pray for the Lord of the harvest because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Then Jesus tells them, now go. I think they kind of stop it. We're going to pray for the workers. But then Jesus says, yeah, you're going to pray for workers, but go. Revelation is guaranteeing us as well to say, hey, all people will have representatives before the throne. We want to see Southern Baptists love Jesus, love His Word, and give sacrificially to Lottie Moon Christmas offering so that the gospel can go to the ends of the earth and even specifically to the large Muslim groups like I work with.
Thank you. We've been seeing some of these videos that shows where all this money that we give to Lottie Moon Christmas offering goes around the world for international missions. Will you please stand with us as we continue worship? You know, a couple weeks ago, and I forgot to actually do this, a couple weeks ago, a bunch of us from the church went out and we sang at Brightwood Nursing Home, walked around and sang Christmas carols to all the residents in there. And I'll tell you what a wonderful time that was. And you know what I was especially happy about? Was a number of the kids that were singing here last week. How many of those kids, almost all those kids, were out there singing with us at the nursing home? You know, and it was so nice to see the residents in the windows waving, and it was really great to be able to share that with them. So some of the favorite songs that the kids had were all big, happy, joyful songs. So Christ is born, and that's what we're going to sing about today. You get one.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.
Bow your heads and pray with me. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for your love, for your mercy and your grace. God, we thank you that you came for us. You came to save us. Lord, I thank you that we can come to you this morning, that we can set aside all the outside things, that we can put what's on our hearts and what's on our minds aside, and we can just worship you. Lord, I pray that this morning as we come before your words, as we come before your throne, that we're reminded of your love. That, Lord, we humble ourselves unto you. And, Lord, that you allow us to learn from what you have for us this morning. God, it's in your great name we pray this morning. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning again, church. This week I've been blessed with an opportunity once again to get to join you and preach the word. Similar to last week, I thought I'd share a little bit about myself. Because again, some of you know me and some of you don't know me that well. And that's okay. So I thought I'd share a little bit just of who I am. So once again, I'm Rich Davis. I serve here as the youth pastor. What are you doing, buddy?
I'm a chicken.
Derek, why do you think you're a chicken?
I cluck like a chicken.
Derek, I didn't really hear that. What was that? Okay, all right. So, Derek, even though you cluck like a chicken, you know that doesn't make you a chicken, right?
Sure.
I'm 100% sure for you, buddy. You can go on. And why are you, what are you doing, buddy?
Because I like corn. I'm a chicken.
You're a chicken because you like corn. I think most of us here may or may not like corn, but I think we all can agree that, Colin, you are not a chicken just because you like corn. It's okay. Go on. You're fine. Thank you. So, I apologize for the interruption there, but I am Rich Davis. I am the youth pastor, as you can tell. I'm being assaulted. We're going to look this way first. Joseph, what are you doing, sir?
I am a ninja.
You're something, but I don't think you're a ninja.
I am a ninja.
Why are you a ninja?
Because I got this black mask, and I got some sick karate moves.
Listen. Oh, my. Joseph, listen, buddy, I hate to tell you this, but you're not a ninja just because you have a black mask and some relatively okay karate moves.
I'm not.
You're not. I'm sorry, buddy. I think you need to take your seat, though. Ronnie, what are you doing up here?
Ninjas are cool.
Ninjas are cool. Ronnie, you are very cool. However, that does not make you a ninja, all right? It's okay. You can go ahead and sit down. As a youth pastor, as you can see, I get to work with a wide variety of different characters within the church. But again, my name is Rich Davis. I am...
Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you a Christian? Are you Christian?
I am.
Are you Christian?
So,
I'm a Christian.
You're a Christian.
Christian. Yes.
All right.
I'm a Christian.
I'm glad to hear that you're a Christian. Why do you think you're a Christian?
Well, I mean, let's see. I check all the boxes. I go to church. I actually was baptized.
Okay. All right.
I read my Bible. I've read my Bible before.
Ooh. All right. Once. Good job.
My parents are Christians.
And your parents. Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
I mean,
cool.
I don't know what else really there is to it.
Yeah. No, I understand. I get that. Mm-hmm. So, Judah, you know that just because you once read your Bible and your parents are Christians, you know those things don't make you a Christian, right?
Baptized.
Even though you were baptized, right? That itself is not what makes you the Christian. You know that, right? Judah?
Sure.
Why don't you, okay. You sit down. We'll talk more. You and I will talk more. What are you doing, babe?
I am singing.
Okay. I'm glad you're singing. Why are you singing?
Because I'm a Christian.
Okay. Cynthia, I know you don't think that you're a Christian just because you sing, right?
I'm on the praise band.
I know that you don't think you're a Christian just because you're on the praise band, right?
I'm pretty sure that gets me in.
Could you go sit down, please? I know, I'm going to get in trouble later for that, but that's okay. Listen, so I am Rich Davis. I am a husband, a father. I am the youth pastor here. I'm a general manager. As you can see, I'm a teacher of youth. Every now and then, I'm a student at Liberty University, and I've learned a lot of things this week. I got to tell you, I hosted a holiday. That's a tough job. For anybody who has not hosted holidays, congratulations to you. Your suffering will come later. And I think most people who have hosted understand what I mean, and I don't truly mean the suffering because it was a great time and it was good to have family out. But it is hard. But I gotta be honest, there's a lot of different things that I've learned and that I am. I'm a lot of things to a lot of different people. If you talk to my staff, I'm their boss. If you talk to the people who don't like me on my staff or that who I've fired over the years, I'm that guy who is a jerk. A lot of different things to a lot of different people. But I got to tell you what the truth about who I am. The truth of who I am is I'm a Christian. And I have a message for you today. I have a word that I'd like to share with you today. But I'm no different than you. I fail, I fall short, I have fears. One of my biggest fears actually, in fact, is I think common amongst most of parents out there, but my biggest fear is that I will not train and teach my children properly. I worry that I don't spend enough time or energy and effort into them. Now, I know you could give me a lecture both ways. Because I think most people can. Most people can argue and defend in one way or the other. But the truth is, if I'm being honest with you, church, then I have to tell you that I am guilty of not showing enough attention or devotion to my children. I've fallen short in this area. And I'll tell you why I'm so worried about it. Church, like many other parents out there, like many other people out there, I'm afraid of what the world is going to teach. Church, we live in a world, in a society, in a day and age where the world teaches a lot of crazy things. So from a parent's standpoint, I have to look and go, am I teaching my children? Am I teaching them well enough to understand and devote away from what the world teaches? This is why, more often than not, you'll hear me talk to Lana, especially, and tell her to ask things like, why? So she asks why a lot. Every now and then gets a little annoying, but she asks the question why a lot. But something else I try to teach my child is that I try to teach her to think outside of the box. So let me tell you why. See, the thing is, the scary part about the world is, they're wolves hiding among us. Amen. They're imposters. Out there among us. Sometimes they even sit in our midst. There's a game out there. It's called Among Us. The youth know a lot about it. They play it pretty frequently. And in this game, you're a little jelly bean. And you look the same as everybody else. The only difference is that one of you is an imposter. And the job of the imposter is to kill off all the rest of the little jelly bean characters. While the world is not necessarily trying to kill us off in the most literal sense, the thing is, most of us parents, and I think most of us as a whole should be worried about, is that the imposters are going to teach us and that they're going to win. But I have hope for you. Church, I have hope for you. I have hope for the parents out there. So let's look at that. But before we do, pray with me. God, I'm reminded of how much we need you. I'm reminded of how much we need your love. We need your protection. I'm reminded of how much we need your wisdom. And I know what your word says, Lord, and so I come to you and I ask. God, I ask that you forgive me of my sins and my shortfalls. God, I ask that you rain down your Holy Spirit upon this place. That these words are not my words, that this isn't my ideas or my thoughts, but rather, God, that this is entirely you. Today, Lord, as we discuss your word, I pray that your Holy Spirit rains down on this place and that we can heed your direction, that we can heed your instruction, and we can take your word seriously. God, it's in your great name I pray. Amen. So today I want to discuss with you three things that we need to look at. Three things that as we go into 2021, what we need to run to. So if you have your Bibles with you, open up to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 13 through 29 here today. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 29, and it starts off like this. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." Verse 21 starts off and says like this. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many of you will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears the words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law." Church, this week is the new year, and with this text, I thought it only appropriate to share three different things to discuss as we go into the new year. Number one, the path to heaven is not easy. Now, I know, slow to your roll. I said there's hope. There is hope. Don't stress, okay? I'm not telling you this to rain on your parade. But rather to remind. See, heaven is not open to us just because we say a prayer or because we show up in church. Church is important. Prayer is important. Worship is important. Reading the Bible is important, but that doesn't mean that just because you do one of these four things that you're going to get into heaven. Actually, the gospel message is what gets us into heaven. Right? So, as we look at it in Romans 3:10, it says, as it is written, there is no righteous, no one righteous, not even one. Romans 3:23, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, death through sin, and in this same way came to all people because of all sinned. No one's righteous. Everyone's going to be a sinner. This next one here, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. We know that even though we sinned, because we sinned, the wages, the consequence of sin is death. Romans 5:8 says this, though, says, but God demonstrated his own love in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:9-10, if you declared your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart and God raised him, that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Romans 10:9-10. Salvation. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. But it doesn't end there. Romans 8:38 and 39, I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels or demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God's love. But in verse 13, it says, enter through narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. Salvation is open to all. And nothing can separate us from God's love. But this last verse here is the reminder. See, in Romans 12:4-6, it says, for just as we, each of us has one body and with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body. Each belongs to all of the others. We have different gifts according to grace given to each one of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. See, church, it doesn't just end with the salvation. We have gifts. We have talents. We're a body of believers. We'll have a place. One of the first things I do with new youth when they come into youth group is we do a puzzle. Well, in a normal year when we actually have Wednesday night youth group, obviously. But we do a puzzle and we talk about this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we look at these passages and we talk about where we fit in, what our piece of the puzzle is. Because in our Christian walk, we're not called to just show up, take a pew, and be done. Church, we're called to do something. This is why he says that through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. It's easy to walk down the path of the world. Look at the world. Look at what they say. Listen to how they talk. Listen to what they preach and teach. It's easy to say, you know what, I'm going to sleep in on Sunday. I don't want to go to church. I worked hard all week. It's easy to say, I don't want to have to do one more thing. I've already done all these things. It's easy to say, I don't want to do. It's much harder to do it. Through these verses, we can see a couple different things. We see that we're all sinners. We see that salvation comes through Christ. And we see that there is a place for everyone to serve. This verse, enter through narrow gates. This actually should bring you hope. And I'll tell you why. This verse is saying that you're going to go through tough times. This is saying that even though your path is hard, we have something great at the end. Church, these verses talking about narrow gates and these paths, if you've listened to Larry's previous series, you'll hear him talk about heaven and what is to come. And I'm not going to re-preach his series because I'm not that talented. However, what I'll tell you is the Cliff Notes version, which is heaven is real and heaven is a place that is being prepared for us. It has been prepared for us. Church, we're all sinners. Salvation only comes through Christ. Amen. And there's a place that we all have a chance to serve. There's hope in that. There's hope in that even though we've failed, even though we fall short, even though we make mistakes, even though we are undeserving of His love, He loves us anyway. There's hope that even though we don't have any ability of our own to enter the gates, He welcomes us. Church, the path to heaven is difficult, but there is hope. Church, my second thing I want to discuss with you today is that there are wolves hiding among us. I know. It's in the text. I try to make it easy. I'm not a complicated person. I like to make it simple. Their wolves are hiding among us. Church, this is a scary thing. Amen. We should take this very seriously. We need to remember that we're being watched. Not just literally online right at this exact moment, but literally we're being watched by people around us. We're being watched by people younger than us and older than us and all around us. The truth is, people are watching how we act, how we live, what we do, what we say. There are people all around us. There are sometimes even people who dress up like preachers. They act like preachers. They may even sound like preachers, but that doesn't make them a preacher. Like the chicken skit that the youth and some older youths did. Just because you cluck like a chicken or you like corn doesn't make you a chicken. Just because you have some subpar karate moves doesn't make you a ninja, and just because you like to hang out in the shadows doesn't make you a ninja either, but going to church by itself does not make you a Christian. So how do we recognize the wolves that are hiding among us? How do we recognize false teachers or false prophets? It's not easy. And style has nothing to do with it. Because you can look at 3 or 4 or 5 different preachers and their different styles, and that doesn't change necessarily whether or not they are a false teacher or not. Rather, there are some effective ways I think you can recognize a false prophet or a false teacher and the wolves among us. One of them is by their fruit. In Matthew 7:16, it says, by their fruit you will recognize them. You know, this goes both ways. Because a good tree will produce good fruit and a bad tree will produce bad fruit. So we're going to recognize false prophets by their fruit, or lack thereof in some instances. Another important thing to notice is their context. In 1 Peter 3:15 it says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this in gentleness and respect. The context of their text, the context of their lives, the context of their discussion. This goes so far and can be taught on as a lesson, as a sermon in and of itself, but the truth is that context matters, that context is important, and that context sets us up for what is being said. If all I ever do is tell you that you need to give money, give money, give money, give money, and I tell you nothing more than giving money, there's something wrong there. If all I ever do is have a snippet of a verse or a piece of a text, and I'm trying to explain it out of just a piece, there can be something wrong there. There's a lot to do with context. There's a lot to do with fruit. But the last thing I think that is important for an effective in recognizing a false prophet is the spirit. In Romans 12:11, it says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Is the Holy Spirit in this person? Do they have that spiritual fervor? Are they zealous for the Lord? Or are they lackluster? Are they apathetic? Is their joy no longer within them? Of the text we've been reading, verse 15 says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are ferocious wolves. Church, ferocious is probably one of my favorite words, other than zealous. The reason I like the word ferocious is it's a great word that describes how the wolves are. They're not just sitting there, they're not just looking at you or staring at you. They're ferocious. They're scary. They're violent. They're ready to attack. Church, can we defend? Or, like many other churches across the nation, across the world, will those ferocious wolves tear us to parts? No, I don't mean physically you or me being torn to pieces. I mean, will the ferocious wolves that hide among us split us? Will they get us to argue or debate or disagree? not in love. First John 4:1 says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Church, we have to be able to test the spirits. We have to be able to test teachers and preachers. Please do not give a written exam. Okay, that might be kind of hard. I will probably fail that. I'm sorry. I've never really been a good test taker. But you know what I mean here. We have to test the spirit. We have to understand, is this the spirit of God within this person? But this verse right here brings me to my final point of the day. And that's that the word must be practiced. Church, we're going into a new year. And it has been a crazy 2020. I think most of us can speak from example or speak from experience or just a dislike towards things that it has been a crazy 2020. And the way we've changed as a country, as a world, is probably not going away anytime soon. But here's something that is also not going away. The Word of God. Amen. There's so much that can be said about the Word being put into practice and how important it is. And I think that anybody who's been in this pulpit at some point or another, whether Randy or Brother Ed or Zeke or Travis or Larry, Charlie Harmon, anybody who may, Steve, that one guy that used to play guitar a long time ago, Yolchi, whoever it might be who has been in this pulpit at one time or another, has told you scriptures from the Word of God. I don't know of anyone who hasn't, otherwise they probably wouldn't have been allowed in the pulpit to begin with. That said, every single one of those people who have been in this pulpit would all tell you the significance of reading the Word, of practicing the Word, studying the Word. There's not a teacher in this church that will tell you that it is okay to not read your Bible. I'm 98% sure of that. There's not a teacher or a leader within this church that would tell you that that is a safe thing to do in your life. And yet, church, sadly to say, we are no different than most other churches in that more often than not, we ignore that wisdom. Church, I am guilty of not reading the Word enough. I have some good brothers that I look up to that will remind me of how powerful the Word is, who will send me a sermon or a video or a note that will encourage me and remind me where I'm falling short, even when they don't know they're doing it. But I think that these verses are important for us to understand. So 2 Timothy 3:16 says this. It says, "All scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." Proverbs 28:9 says this. It says, "If anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable." Romans 10:17, "Consequently, faith comes from the hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. And in the text we've been reading, therefore, in verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears the word of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who builds his house on the rock. While I could reiterate the significance of the foundation, and I've preached a whole sermon on it before, I'm not going to do that for you today, but what I want to especially help out with the significance here is how important the Word of God is in our lives, and we have to put it into practice. But I didn't think it was fair to say that without giving some tips for reading the Bible. So I have 5 tips for you on how to help start reading the Word. And my tips for the reading of the Bible are not all-inclusive. They are not all-encompassing. This is not everything. These are 5 tips that came from all over the world, from different people, different ideas. These are the 5 that I know were the most encouraging when I was reading and studying for this. Number 1 is start slow. Easy, simple. You do not need to read the entire Bible in one day. Church, I don't know all of you well enough to know, but I don't think any of you can read the whole Bible in one day. If you have that ability, why aren't you teaching? But never mind, we'll move on. Start slow. Pick something. Start there. Don't give up. This is not like an exercise plan. This is not like a meal plan. This is important. This is scripture. This is the Word of God. Start slow. Don't give up. Pray constantly. See, we forget that reading the Word is studying God's Word. We forget that God has this open line of communication that we can talk to Him. Crazy concept, but we can talk to Him all day, every day. We should pray constantly while we're reading the Bible. God, I don't understand this word. What do you mean when He came from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him? Why did great multitudes follow Him from the mountain? I don't know. I just picked the next line there. Have someone hold you accountable. This is the hardest of these tips, because this means you have to be willing to let somebody tell you you're not doing something, or let them tell you you messed up. A long time ago, and whether he remembers this or not is a whole other story, but a long time ago, Travis and I once had a conversation. We said that if either one of us were to ever leave the church, we were to go to the other person and smack them with a shovel. Right? Now, pretty, you know, intense procedure there for if one of us leaves the church. So neither one of us have left yet, and I pray neither one of us do, because I'm not leaving, man. So it's going to be you. And then I got to hit you with a shovel. You want to go through that? No, he doesn't. I don't. Here's the truth. You know, I kind of joke about it, but the reality is me and Travis have both gone down tough times. No, I'm not going to dig out his dirty laundry, but I'll tell you that in my tough times, there have been times where the conversation was there. Is it time? Is it time to move on? Are we truly making an impact anymore? And in those dark times, in those tough times, as someone who held me accountable, no, he didn't remind me of the shovel. He stood with me. He helped me. He guided me. He recommended. He sought wisdom with me. He prayed with me. Someone who holds you accountable is not normally just going to smack you with a shovel. Sometimes that's necessary. We're guys. I'm just going to call it like it is. But sometimes you need that brother who can just be open with you, who you can tell that mistake you made and not feel like you're going to get judgment from someone else. Church, my last piece here is this. Start reading the Bible with John, Romans, James, or Proverbs. Listen, there are 100 different theologians who will tell you 100 different things. Here's why I listed off these four. John is the gospel. The gospel of John is a good place to start because it is one of, it's commonly spoken as one of the more easier to understand gospels. Listen, this is based on one person's opinion versus another. Somebody might disagree. I'm just telling you, start with John. Start with Romans. It's an understanding upon salvation. Start with James. He tells it like it is. Or my personal favorite, and some of the youth will tell you, we've joked before, Proverbs a day keeps your gallbladder inside. The truth is, Proverbs are simple, easy phrases. They're wisdom. They're things you can understand. Pick something. Start there. Read one proverb a day. Read one verse a day. You don't need to read the whole book. Now, church, I know I have talked a lot. I've talked a lot about the significance. Here's the truth. We need to be prepared. Church, we need to understand. We need to be ready. Amen. Church, there are wolves that are among us. And they are preying on us not having a defense, not standing strong, not being prepared. Church, there are false teachers all over the world standing in pulpits similar or bigger or smaller than this, talking, not necessarily preaching the word. Church, we have to get into the Word. We need to truly be in the Word. Know it, live it, practice it. I want to close with these thoughts, okay? The chicken skit is funny. It's designed to make you laugh. And I hope you got to at least laugh at somebody that jumped on stage for a hot minute or two. The purpose of that is to make you laugh. It's to make you think about things. It's supposed to tie it in. Because the truth is, we're not chickens or ninjas. We're Christians. I stand here, church, a follower of Christ just like you guys. How do you know? Well, hopefully you can see my fruit. Hopefully you can see my faithfulness, my endurance. But at the end of the day, I don't answer to you. I answer to the Lord. I answer to the Lord in regards to how I teach and raise up my children. I answer to the Lord in how I teach and train the youth that come through Open Door. I answer to the Lord on how I treat my wife and my brothers and sisters within this church. Church, they'll know we're Christians by our love. What are you doing this year? I'm going to ask the praise band to come forward. And they're going to sing a song, and we're going to open up the altar for you to pray. And most of you are maybe saved, and that's great. But maybe this year, maybe as we prepare for the new year, maybe it's time for you to commit to the Lord, something to do. Maybe you just need to recommit to Him. Maybe you need to recommit to a service for the Lord. Or maybe you've fallen short and realize that. Maybe you need a brother or sister to walk you through, to guide you through, to lead you through. Church, we're here for each other. We are called to be there for one another. I pray that today that you heed His wisdom, that you heed His words, and that we turn to the Lord with everything we say and do. Will you pray with me? Father God, thank you. Thank you that we have the ability to encourage one another. Thank you, Lord, for the call to build one another up. But I pray today, God, that you work on our hearts and that we are reminded that we are nothing without you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you guide us today, that you teach us today, and that we seek you with everything that we are for the rest of the day. It's in your great name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Richie. Will you all please stand with us?
Turning back, no turning back. Oh, none go in.
forward. There's no turning back. So go forward into the new year running to him. You are dismissed. Thank you. Have a great day.
You are my rock.